Now, I'd be the first to say that generally I'm pretty happy with my life, but if there's one thing I would have loved to have been, it's a Hollywood star, and we have one with us today. Emrys Cooper joins us. Hi, how are you?
Thank you for the intro. I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well. Now, you are an actor, and you have been in things that we have seen and things that we're about to see. And we're going to talk about a couple of things that that you're in at the moment. But let's just paint the picture as to who you are, because you grew up in Devon, I believe.
I did. I grew up in, I was born in Garrett Bridge, and then I grew up in Buckfastley and then Little Hempstead near Totnes. And I kind of performed and did dancing throughout Devon. And then at 16, I went to London.
And that's the big step, I guess, because there will be plenty of youngsters who have got that far and doing things. But making that step to becoming a professional, as it were, how did you, when you say you went to London, did you go to drama school?
I went to a ballet school first called Central School of Ballet. I initially got into the industry as a dancer, even though I was acting and singing as well as dancing. I did 2 years at Central School of Ballet, and then I moved to a place called Lane Theatre Arts, which is a musical theatre place where Victoria Beckham and Ruthie Henschel and many West End performers went. And then I graduated at 19, and then I went to the tour of Fame, the musical.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because I actually watched Fame when I was 13 years old at the Plymouth Theatre Royal. And I said to my mum, I want to be in that one day.
There you go.
And then
10
years later, or actually 9 years later, I was in it.
How many times do you hear people who say that was their dream and then it becomes reality? I think there's something to that, isn't there? You've got to have that sort of focus, and somehow things come your way, don't they?
Oh, completely. Yeah, I totally believe in your dreams, and I'm a big believer in manifestation and going for it. You know, yeah. It's good to have a sight which you want to aim for.
Now, one of the things that you were in that people will immediately recognise is Mamma Mia, the musical. Well, the
Mamma
film.
Mamma Mia. Yeah.
So you've worked with Meryl Streep, amongst others. That's not bad to have on your CV, is it?
And a few other people. Yeah, that was a pretty hard job, obviously, going to Greece for 4 months or 3 months and dancing around the Greek islands. I was like, wow, I'm getting paid for this.
Yeah,
that was a fantastic time.
So how did things like that come your way? Do you have to go and audition, or does your agent put you forward? How does it work?
Well, I was doing We Will Rock You in the West End. I think I just finished that. And then, yeah, my agent put me up for the audition for Mamma Mia. And it was a really fun audition, actually, because we had to pretend. We did the dancing and the singing and stuff. And then we had to pretend that we were on a stag do. And they wanted to see how we would interact and, you know, basically act like crazy lunatics.
And that's what you did.
And I was like, wow, tick, I'm good at that. Yeah, and I got the job, and it was kind of a dream come true, yeah.
Now, we're going to come on to the things that you're actually involved in releasing at the moment. But before we get there, let's just get up to date. So you're now based in the States.
Yeah, shortly after Mamma Mia, I got the opportunity to go to LA. And it was a pretty tough time at the beginning, and then it kind of worked out. Gradually, I got some more acting roles in TV over there. And I've been there. I was in LA for 7 years. I've recently relocated to New York, but I still have my place in LA. But yeah, I mean, the States has been a real adventure, because I had a kind of steady career in London, and I went to the States and had to kind of really start again.
Because everybody does, don't they? In the sense that nobody knows who you are over there. So you've got to prove yourself, I guess, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, I expected the red carpet off the plane, but it didn't happen that way, I'm afraid. But you know, I think all the struggles and obstacles only make me stronger and more appreciative of any of the successes I get now.
Yeah, well, I suspect that there's going to be quite a lot of success attached to Kushathara. Have I pronounced it correctly?
Close. Kushathara.
Kushathara, okay.
Well, you pronounced it better than a lot of people.
Now, let's just investigate
Kushathara.
Kushathara.
There we go.
Well, the first thing to say about it is that visually it is absolutely stunning, and it's all filmed in Bhutan.
Yeah.
Which is a very difficult place to get into, from what I understand.
It's incredibly difficult to get into because it's very protected. It's actually between China and India, right up at the Himalaya Mountains, and it's a very special country. I mean, it's considered one of the happiest places on Earth. And I was very fortunate to be actually the first ever Western actor to do a movie there.
Amazing.
And yeah, the king and the country kind of wanted a movie to happen that could really open and show people how special Bhutan is. So this is kind of a way of hopefully boosting their economy and just letting people in to know more about the country.
I mean, I was first off amazed to realise that Bhutan even has its own film industry, but it does. But as you say, you're the first Western actor to star in a Bhutanese film. So at what point did it become a world release as opposed to a Bhutanese release?
Well, I was surprised about Bhutan having a film industry too, because I was like, wow, such a small country, but they have such a love of the arts. They're so heavily influenced by Bollywood because they're right on the cusp of Bollywood. So their movies have a lot of song in them and a very different sensibility about storytelling. They're a lot more innocent, which I think in a way we can learn something from that, because movies in this day and age are so money driven. You know, they don't have necessarily the same heart. So I actually got offered the film because I knew my friend was actually the Tibetan translator of the King of Bhutan, randomly.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like right place, right time. And yeah, going out there, I had no idea what to expect, but it ended up being, you know, a life-changing experience for me.
And how long were you out there for?
I was out there for 6 weeks, and this happened 4 years ago. And basically, they didn't really have any ways of releasing it into the rest of the world, but I have a production company called Dream It Productions. Dream It, Go After Your Dreams. And I basically said I would help get the movie released internationally. Little did I know it would be virtually impossible, because to get a movie released in cinemas, and you need a certain amount of deliverables, you know, to qualify for actually the film to be released legally. So it took a long time. We actually went through distribution companies that kind of screwed us. And about 6 months ago, I took the film into my own hands with the production company. We're doing it our own way, which is very exciting. The new digital way of releasing is the future. And we're also, you know, renting cinema space to actually get it on the big screen as well. So it's kind of, I've learned a lot from the distribution side of things, but I think this is a special film that deserves, you know, to get a life.
Yeah, well, having seen the trailer, I really want to watch the whole thing. And I would imagine that with, as I said, it is visually stunning. So I imagine it would work even better on a big screen than it did on my PC, as it were.
Well, thank you for your kind words. I think that this movie is very special because I play an American journalist going to the country of Bhutan to learn about the country and do a research trip. And so you're kind of learning through my eyes. But, you know, all these things end up happening. I fall in love with a married woman and all this drama happens and there's reincarnation aspects. But it's a movie about second chance. And I do believe everyone in life at some point needs to be woken up and see another way. And I think that that's hopefully what the message of this film will be.
What does Kushitara actually mean?
It's a love token woven through cloth. And the Kushitara is embroidery. Well, it's a cloth made by a Bhutanese woman. They start as young as 7 years old. And they take about 6 months or 9 months to make. So it's quite a while. And then they sell them throughout the world. And it's their main livelihood. So it's a kind of ancient tradition. It's been around centuries. So it's cool. Well, I've got one now.
Oh, good. Well, so you should.
I should have worn it today.
Yes. Now, before we let you go, you must tell us about something else that's just about to be released as well, you were telling me.
Oh, well, thank you for letting me promo the hell out of my life. Okay, so it gets released on the 7th of February, which I don't know when you're listening to this, is a Tuesday. And it's a movie called Till We Meet Again. It's a story about backpackers in Thailand. And I play the character David, who's a cheeky chappy who kind of goes on a big adventure and learns a lot about life through backpacking. I think a lot of people at some point have either backpacked or wanted to. So I think it's a really great way to look at Thailand. And, you know, you see these characters thrown out of their comfort zone. And I think this movie, it's a relationship drama, and I think people can gravitate towards vulnerability. And I'm proud of this film. So, yeah, if you can rent it or buy it, I'd be extremely happy.
And just give us the title again.
Till We Meet Again.
Till We Meet Again. Okay, well, Emrys, it is lovely to meet you. Good luck with both Till We Meet Again and Kushitara. I think you know, from what I've seen of it and the fact that it's already won some awards in Bhutan, you have every chance in other film festivals too. Will you be putting it forward for such things?
We've actually played in around 20 film festivals in the States, in Goa, Fiji, Europe, and we've won quite a few actually. So we're done with the film festival circuit because once you release it, you can't really do any more. But I'm very proud that it played internationally. You know, and we won Best Narrative Film in Laughlin Film Festival in America. So it was a really incredible learning experience, you know. So anyway, I want to thank you for having me on the show. I'm rambling. But thank you for having me on the show, and I appreciate, you know, giving me the time.
It's a pleasure. It was really nice to meet you. Come back and see us again soon.
I will.